The Tom Woods Show, episode 1934.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey folks, don't even think about missing the libertarian event of the year. The 2000th episode of The Tom Woods Show, live in Orlando, featuring many of your favorites from The Tom Woods Show. And Michael Malice says his special surprise guest, whose identity I myself don't even know, will bring the house down. Cost nothing to attend. Register at tomwoods2000.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. Aria DiMezzo joins me today. She's one of the so-called Crypto Six. And if you're not familiar with who those people are, we're going to be obviously talking about that in this episode. But what happened was that a series of raids were carried out on a bunch of different properties back in March 2021 in New Hampshire. DiMezzo was one of those, and she's charged with operating an unlicensed money transmitting business. And some people are saying that this case could have wide-ranging implications for cryptocurrency and the law and taxation, and we'll get into that in the course of the discussion. Aria, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
I'm glad we had a chance to chit-chat a little bit at Porkfest and do the judging at Soapbox Idol together. That was a lot of fun, but it also reminded me that I did want to get you on the show. I'd been meaning to do that, and I realize that there are some difficulties involved here because there are, I guess, pending charges, and there are only so many things you can say, but you can certainly comment on what the general public knows about the case.
Certainly.
And I think that alone would be very interesting. There is a page up that some well-wishers must have put up to help support you and other people who wound up in this particular situation. But let's back up and give the background. I guess the FBI burst into what, the Free Talk Live studios? Paint the picture for me.
Okay, they hit 6 residences, 17 total properties simultaneously on March the 16th. As near as we can tell, they all kicked off at 6 a.m. in the morning. My house was one of those. Another one here in Keene was the Free Talk Live studio, or where, you know, Ian Freeman lives. And it wasn't just the FBI. It was this huge joint government task force involving probably headed up by the FBI, but including the IRS, the U.S. Treasury Department, and the U.S. Postal Service and their parcel inspection division, whatever it is they call it. So it was very widespread, and it happened all across New Hampshire to a total of 17 properties. Ultimately, because of, according to the publicly available indictment, operating an unlicensed business and conspiracy to operate an unlicensed business. For that, they decided it was, you know, appropriate to smash out the windows at the studio, fly in a drone, which they said they were using to search for bombs, point guns at me, threaten to shoot me if I didn't stop moving, and just generally exert as much force as they could legally get away with.
Search for bombs?
Yes.
Did they have any reason to suspect that there would be bombs there?
No, of course not.
I mean, it's a rhetorical question, I think. That's unbelievable. Of course, this is the same. I remember a couple of years ago, was it the police department or some police in New Hampshire were applying to try to get a bear cat?
Oh, that was Keene. The Keene Police Department. Yes, and they used it on March the 16th.
That's incredible. They did?
They did. They smashed it through the front door. It was so jarring to the inhabitants that they thought that some drunk driver had smashed through the house. I mean, that was everyone's first reaction, because you don't expect something like this, right? And when suddenly your house starts shaking, your first thought isn't going to be, oh God, it's the FBI.
Right. So walk us through, what's going through your mind as this is all happening?
I had no idea what was going on. I had just gone to bed like 2 hours before, and I was, you know, a bit inebriated when I went to sleep, and just suddenly there was a lot of noise downstairs. Now, I've been having a lot of work done on my house by people who tend to be kind of loud, so I thought it was just them, and they were drunk or high or whatever, and they were just making a lot of noise. I didn't realize they were waking me up. So I came running, screaming down the stairs, wearing just a pair of underwear and a throw blanket, screaming, guys, what is going on? Why are you making so much noise?
Oh, no.
And as I reached the bottom of my stairs, I just saw flashlights pointed at me, and it all flashed into my mind very quickly, and I understood what was going on, because there was the FBI standing behind riot shields with guns and flashlights pointed at me saying, Aria, stop moving or we will open fire.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a hell of a way to wake up. So I stopped moving.
Almost not seem real in some way.
Yeah, especially
that would be happening.
especially, I mean, that's your first interaction upon waking up. Been awake a total of, 3 seconds. And that's what you run into. It definitely feels like you're still dreaming at that point. It's like, there's no way this is actually happening. Yeah. But it was.
Wow. Okay. Now, we're obviously, in a minute, we're going to get into what it was they were bothering you about. But I want to stay on this day. How long were they at your residence and what did they do?
Well, the first thing they did was handcuff me. And there was a bit of an issue about that because they were issuing a command that I refused to comply with. They wanted me to put my hands in the air, which was going to cause the blanket that I was wearing to fall. And I wasn't willing to do that. So they ultimately ceded and just sent up a female agent to handcuff me in a way that the blanket didn't fall. They then brought me out here to what is now the broadcast studio. And they had me stand here for about half an hour with the doors wide open, of course. And it's March the 16th in New Hampshire. So it's like 30 degree winds just blowing through the house. They asked me if there were any pets or anything like that. I said, yes, there are 2 cats. Please don't kill them. And they said, well, our policy is to de-escalate things. And me always having a smart remark makes it, oh no. Yeah, new administration, new policy, right?
Yeah, that's our policy, is to de-escalate things. Don't mind the bear cat.
Yeah, right. Well, they luckily didn't drive in a bear cat here. They didn't break out any windows here at my house.
Right,
they just
right.
battered down the front door.
Right. But all the same, it seems rather implausible. So, all right. So, do they take you to the jail? I mean, what happens next?
Next, they took me into what used to be the mosque area here, or it's still technically the mosque area. It's just not in use. They shut the door. They disconnected my DVR from my security camera system, asked me if there was any audio and video recording in the room, to which I answered no, but whether or not there was or not, they didn't really think I was about to answer that question truthfully, did they? Now, I did. The room was not audio or video recorded, but after they come in there, they lock me in this room. They disconnect my security cameras. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is going to be one of those days. I'm about to go through one of these Jack Bauer experiences, because that's how they had been treating me thus far. But ultimately, they asked me what they could get me. I said, a cigarette and a bottle of water right out there. They brought me those. And they proceeded to ask me some very simple questions, my name, my birthday, how long I'd lived in New Hampshire. As soon as they got into the subject of the actual raid, I told them I was going to need an attorney. And by that point, I had finished my cigarette anyway, so it no longer mattered. And they placed me under arrest and took me to Merrimack County Jail.
How long were you there?
Roughly 10 hours, I think. Probably the least of all of the Crypto Six. For whatever reason, I mean, my attorney made it his highest priority to just, get me out of jail. And luckily, the prosecutors weren't trying to detain me. Probation didn't mind having me released. So it was pretty much just catch and release for me.
Well, given that some folks in Keene are known for civil disobedience, did you already have contact with attorneys? Like, you already knew, I know exactly who I'm going to call about this?
I did not. At least not in this particular case. I mean, I do have attorneys on retainer for other matters, but nothing like this. I never expected to get raided by the FBI.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about now, for anybody thinking, well, if you hadn't been getting yourself into trouble, they wouldn't have... Let's try and deal with that. What exactly are they saying you did wrong? And then tell me, what exactly were you guys in fact doing?
I want to touch on that preface you made to that, because that is always people's first question. Okay, well, what were you doing? I was getting raided by the FBI. That's what I was doing. Even among libertarian circles, there's this huge presumption of guilt that just because you were raided by the FBI, you must have been doing something to warrant it. And at least in regard with us, that's clearly not the case. They raided the Free Talk Live studio 3 or 4 years ago looking for child pornography and, of course, never found any because there was never any there. So they're already batting zero with us, and that's the institution people are putting their trust in. Oh, well, you must have been doing something. Well, what I was doing was sleeping peacefully. That's what I was doing. They're charging us, according to the indictment, they're charging me with operating an unlicensed money transmitting business and the conspiracy to operate an unlicensed money transmitting business. I actually have the least charges of the Crypto Six. The others are charged with things like wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud. In addition to the two that are against me, there's also two that are unique to Ian. I think there's two, one of which is a money laundering charge and the other of which is a operating an ongoing criminal enterprise or something. I don't remember the exact terminology they use, but it's the final charge of the indictment.
So what is a money transmitting business?
Like Western Union, they take money from Party A and their Party B, and they transmit that money to Party C on behalf of Party A.
Okay.
Now, obviously, when you're dealing in Bitcoin, that's never the case. A person is never transmitting money from Party A to Party C.
True. That is true. So describe then, I mean, you were involved in something related to Bitcoin. So what did that look like?
Well, my church took in donations. That would be the Reformed Satanic Church. And we distributed donations. And we used those donations to do things like raise money for the Boston Children's Hospital, the Miracle, I can't remember the acronym now, but the Extra Life Organization takes part in it. We hosted the Extra Life Organization here again to raise money for the Boston Children's Hospital. We've conducted bake sales and things like that. So, I mean, basically, that's what we were doing. People were donating to the church so that we could take part in these churchly activities. And one of those things is, you know, defunding the war machine. That's probably the most religiously motivated thing a person can do. If you want to actually see peace on earth and goodwill toward humankind, the best thing to do is get involved in cryptocurrency. That way you're directly defunding the war machine.
So is there any way that somebody could look at what you're doing and say that even though morally you may make a good case for it, legally, nevertheless, there are a lot of things that are morally acceptable that the law doesn't allow you to do, that you were running afoul of the law? I mean, obviously, you don't want to incriminate yourself on my show, but you understand that would be the question. It may be morally acceptable what you're doing, but what could they claim was wrong with it?
At most, I mean, they would attempt to claim that we just didn't jump through the government's hoops or something like that, which is not going to fly very well in the state of New Hampshire, where there's already a strong distrust of the federal government. But the overarching concern here is that if you can do something that's morally good, but it's illegal, then the law needs to change. The law is supposed to, you know, reflect the moral values of society. And if something is morally good, the law should reflect that, not condemn it.
Okay, no argument there. And I am sure your attorney does not want you on the Tom Woods Show saying, yes, I did break the law, but the law is terrible. I'm not trying to put you in a difficult position, but I just want listeners to have a real sense of what's happening, whether the state genuinely thinks it has a case.
Well, there are no laws in regard to cryptocurrency, right? There's just this huge legal gray area that the state utilizes in whatever way benefits them most, just like they do with marijuana. Sure, the state governments will rake in their taxes on it, but that's not going to stop federal governments from prosecuting people who are selling drugs to further make money off of marijuana. Bitcoin exists in the same sort of legal gray area where courts are like, oh yes, Bitcoin is clearly money, but the IRS is like, no, it's clearly an asset. And it's going to be whichever one the government wants it to be that best serves their purpose in that given moment. They don't want consistency because then, you know, the whole game of charades that they're playing falls down. They want it to be this ambiguous gray area so that they can distort the law that doesn't even exist, by the way, into saying whatever they want it to say so that they can make the most money off of it or oppress the greatest number of people because of it.
What's the worst that could happen to you as a result of this?
To me individually, 10 years in prison, in federal prison.
What's the next step legally? When do you have your day in court, so to speak?
The trial is currently set for May of 2022. However, it's likely to be pushed back. The reason it was scheduled for May of 2022 is because Nobody, that's the person Nobody, also known as Rich Paul, is still being detained. So they don't want to extend the trial too much further, knowing that this person is being detained without having gone to trial. In all likelihood, the appeal of his detention hearing order, however that's supposed to be phrased, his appeal to the judge to get released is likely to be granted, in which case the trial will likely get pushed back to October of 2022. So we're looking at like at least 10 months, maybe 18 months, 16 to 18 months. It's a huge trial. It's already been granted complex case status in the federal court system almost immediately because it touches on so many fundamental issues like religious liberty. What is and isn't money? What role does the federal government have doing this when the state government says this? State rights versus federal government rights. It's a huge case. And it's going to affect the world of cryptocurrency, you know, for decades to come. This will, in theory, be the case that makes the federal government finally say whether or not cryptocurrency is an asset class or a currency.
If it's a currency, then the IRS attempts to tax it fall away, you think? Is that the logic of it?
I believe so, because I mean, if you swapped euros for USD or USD for, you know, whatever other fiat currency there is, I don't believe that's a taxable event. I'm not a tax attorney, but I don't think that's taxable. It's just swapping out one form of money for another. But when it's an asset, it becomes subject to capital gains taxes when you sell it or buy it.
Hey, everybody, let's take a quick second to thank a sponsor I love so much, and that's Skillshare. With Skillshare, you can fuel your curiosity and creativity with short, to-the-point classes you can take any time of day or night on topics including game design, web development, culinary topics, illustration, photography, animation, entrepreneurship, and a whole lot more. One membership gets you access to thousands of classes. In the past, I've had three of my daughters share right here on this show their experiences with Skillshare, which they've used to improve at art and writing, and even learn the basics of sign language. I myself have taken Sonia Rosula's Start Your Creative Career, Build a Sharp, Smart Online Presence as a way of helping out my own girls as they go out into the world. Well, explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/woods and get a 1 month free trial of premium membership. That's a 1 month free trial of premium membership at Skillshare when you go to Skillshare.com/woods. All right. I'm sorry to phrase this question in a way that presumes guilt, but I think you'll see where I'm going here. A lot of people do a lot of things with Bitcoin on a daily basis, and they don't have the FBI beating down their door. A lot of people do donations in the form of Bitcoin, whatever. Is there anything? Again, I don't know. These questions are like designed to incriminate you. I don't mean them that way, but I just want everybody to understand what's happening here. Are you telling me that the activities you were engaged in are no different from what all sorts of law-abiding people are engaged in on a daily basis? I just need to understand that.
It's mostly a matter of scale, right? The average person is dealing with maybe, you know, a tenth of a Bitcoin or, you know, 0.05 of a Bitcoin or maybe even a whole Bitcoin. But the first charge of the federal indictment against us alleges something in excess of 10 million USD worth of cryptocurrency. So the average person isn't going to have the FBI come after them because, you know, they're dealing with like 10,000 Dogecoin or even a half a Bitcoin versus, you know, allegedly $10 million worth of Bitcoin, which certainly is something the FBI pays attention to. They pay attention to these large wallets and where large quantities of Bitcoin are moving around in. They don't pay attention to these small transactions. It reminds me of these sovereign citizens, right? They go into traffic courts and argue about why they have the right to drive and all of that. It's like, that's fine. And these same people are coming to me, oh, you need to demand to see Mr. and Mrs. United States of America. I'm like, dude, you can frustrate a local judge enough by saying stuff like that, that they just throw out your traffic ticket or your speeding ticket or whatever. But we're dealing with a federal courtroom here. That's just going to get us held in contempt.
Right. So that's kind of one of the things I wanted to say is that sometimes you encounter in the libertarian world, it's like if you were to announce to the world you had cancer, half the libertarian world would have all their home remedies in your email inbox within 10 minutes. Yeah. And they all mean well. And I know that they're just trying to help. And don't worry, everybody, I don't have cancer. It's just an example. But likewise with this, oh, I found this loophole. I found this workaround. And yet, as you say, in the local court, maybe you can stymie that speeding ticket because you say, well, did you calibrate your, you know, radar detector that morning and stuff like that? But you're not going to trick a federal prosecutor with that kind of thing.
No, I mean, the federal prosecutors, they cut their teeth being, I don't know exactly what I was trying to say there. I don't remember exactly how all it plays out, but the judge used to be, at the very least, a federal prosecutor. I mean, they're all on the same side, and none of those legal loophole shenanigans are going to fly over with a federal judge.
Well, have you discussed with your attorney what the nature of the case that is going to be made on your behalf is going to look like? What are they going to say in your defense?
We have not really gotten that far yet because we were more focused on allowing contact between myself and Ian, which finally happened about a week and a half ago. We were more focused on that, and the discovery is sealed. I mean, I don't remember the terminology that they used because it's all legal jargon and I'm not an attorney, but basically the only way I can look at it is to actually be physically present in my attorney's office. And there's like 100,000 plus pages of discovery evidence, so to speak. And that's a lot to dig through. It will probably be December or January before my attorney is approaching me with, okay, well, how are we going to deal with this particular thing or that particular thing that's in the discovery?
My gosh, if they have that many pages, I don't know anything to compare that to, but to a layman, it sounds like they spent a lot of time before launching this raid.
It seems that as far back as about 5 years ago, I think, Ian knew that he was under investigation. And that's what the bulk of the discovery is. It's them being the FBI, right? And just, they don't know what they're looking at or what they're doing. They just spend time evaluating the situation to learn the basics of what is going on. From what I could tell, they were watching the property for 3 years before they were even aware that there was a radio show being conducted there. So I can understand why it seemed so weird to them that at the same time, every single day, the various people were coming over at 6:45 Eastern and then leaving shortly after 10 o'clock Eastern. To someone who doesn't know that there's a show being done there, yeah, that seems a little weird.
Isn't that fascinating that you could be involved in this type of surveillance and not realize that that's the Free Talk Live studio?
It is fascinating. There were many, many examples that are in the public indictments. And Ian's attorney, Mark Sisti, mentioned this during Ian's detention hearing. The government doesn't seem to have done their homework about who they're actually dealing with. They don't seem to know anything about Ian Freeman. They didn't seem to know anything about me. They sincerely thought that they were going to be able to use facial recognition to unlock my cell phone. And I'm never going to stop laughing at that. How badly did you guys fail in your research if you really believe you're going to unlock my phone with facial recognition or a thumbprint?
Yeah, no kidding. Now, see, on the other hand, though, I talked to Mark Edge for a while, and he's also with Free Talk Live, and he was of the opinion that, to the contrary, this reflects the fact that the authorities know Ian Freeman all too well, and they're sick and tired of him, from their point of view, causing trouble and humiliating them in one way or another, and this is just spite.
Well, it's not impossible, right? I did just run for sheriff last year, and that garnered international headlines. And one of the things that I was saying as I ran for sheriff was that, you know, if I was sheriff, I would keep the FBI, I would keep the federal government out of Cheshire County. 6 months, exactly 6 months to the day prior to the raid, I was in the Keene Sentinel saying that my public service history was distributing Bitcoin to defund the war machine. 6 months later to the day, the FBI kicked down my door. The argument is certainly there that the Free Keene people, the Free State Project, the Liberty Migration to New Hampshire has just been kicking up so much dust that they finally had to move on these people who seem to be having the greatest impact.
Well, I can't rule anything out at this point. Nothing seems unreasonable to me anymore. After the past few years observing the way the regime operates, you just can't rule anything out.
So, and wasn't it also in January that someone within the Biden administration talked about going after extremists and, quote, even libertarians?
Yeah.
Just a few months later, 6 libertarians in New Hampshire get raided by the FBI?
Yeah.
It's easy to say all of this is coincidence and unrelated, but we don't really know that. And they are kind of telegraphing it pretty hard with Facebook now describing everyone as an extremist.
Well, I'm looking at the website that I don't know who put it up, but I'm looking at thecrypto6.com. That's the numeral 6. thecrypto6.com that has links to various ways people can help, people can get updates on the case, get information about it. Is that the hub that you would want people directed to for this?
It is. The website needs some work. Unfortunately, I'm one of a handful of people who's actually like qualified to edit the HTML and the PHP to do that sort of work. And I'm basically legally prohibited from doing so. And the other people who are capable of it are just too busy to. So we're trying to work together to get me to actually create the content that needs to go there so I can get it delivered to the people who are legally but too busy to create that content to get it posted. But at the moment, yes, that is the best place to go. And the best thing that people can do if they support the Crypto Six is to write to Rich Paul, also known as Nobody, who's still being detained. He needs all the support he can get.
There is a link on that site where you can write to, now I guess now it's just, since it's just him, that would be just one person, but you can, there's a link there that shows you how to do that. So thecrypto6.com, I'm going to link to that also on the show notes page, which is tomwoods.com/1934. Have they placed any, I don't know how any of this works, have they placed any restrictions on your ability to move around the US or the world?
I am not allowed to have a passport. But as far as the United States, I can go anywhere. I mean, obviously, I need to let my supervisory officer know, but I'm not under any particular travel restrictions within the United States. It seems that I got one of the lightest pretrial release conditions that anyone else did, which I guess is kind of nice. It's kind of weird, but I also only have 2 charges against me, so I guess it makes sense. But they don't seem to consider me a flight risk or anything like that. So I can come and go as I please.
Okay, so you're saying that some of the others are facing more restrictive conditions?
Yes, like Ian is under house arrest.
Oh, whoa. I didn't realize that.
Yes, that's why he wasn't at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. He is under house arrest. And prior to the Friday of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, he and I couldn't have contact together anyway. So obviously, even if he was able to get permission to go, in theory, he wouldn't have been able to attend because I was there.
You were there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But that permission ultimately did happen. And it looked like, you know, his officer was going to actually grant him permission to come up that Saturday, but it didn't work out. But yes, he is under house arrest. He cannot go, I think it's 100 yards past his house without, you know, explicit written permission from his supervisory officer to go grocery shopping or whatever. He's significantly more restricted. I know that Colleen Fordham, the 60-year-old grandmother who was also arrested, is not allowed to drink. Now, all of these things could be appealed because drinking didn't have any connection with the charges being alleged against Colleen. So if she wanted to, I mean, the federal court precedents are pretty clear on that. You can't prohibit people from drinking if drinking didn't have anything to do with the charges against them. But it's just standard pre-release. They didn't even bother with that with me. They didn't even bother to check off, you know, prohibited from using illegal drugs. In theory, I could use all the illegal drugs I want. I don't, but in theory, I could.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just very, very peculiar ways of treating all of the six of us differently.
This is a nightmare. Now, look, I know that there's an important principle involved here, and I get that. But on some level, this has to be terrifying.
Not really. I mean, I don't live that way. You know, what's going to happen is going to happen. And I knew when I took up the fight for liberty against the state that, you know, if I was going to actually have any sort of impact or be effective, then eventually the state was going to get angry enough to try to do something about it. And I think that any libertarian activist needs to be aware of that. If you push against the state hard enough, it will push back. And you need to be prepared for that before you get involved in the fight for freedom. And I knew that going in.
Well, fair enough. Not everybody is made of that stuff, but fair enough. So people can help you, not just by spreading the word, but they can actually contribute to your legal expenses. There are a number of ways people can help, and they're up at that website, the Crypto Six, and again, it's the number six, thecrypto6.com.
Yeah, it needs some clarification, so I want to go ahead and make that known.
Please
it's
do.
Not just for the legal defense, because most of the legal defense is covered at this point. It's also to help rebuild the studio and things that were damaged by the FBI. At least two people got fired from their jobs because of it. So it's sort of to help just the Crypto Six in general, and that the
okay.
whole website needs to be rephrased. That's one of the things I'm working on.
Okay, good, good, good. All right, thank you for that clarification. All right, any final words, anything that I neglected to cover that you want to say, feel free to say it.
No, I think we went over it pretty well. I mean, we covered the basics.
Good, good, good. Okay, well, that makes me feel good then that we did that. All right, so thecrypto6.com is the website. I'll have that up also at tomwoods.com/1934. Are you on Twitter, by the way?
I am, but I'm not legally allowed to use Twitter.
Oh, so, that's another restriction.
It is. Everyone else seems to have much greater access to the internet than I do. I'm limited for news sources to Fox News and MSNBC. And it was those two because they were like, well, pick two news sites. And I was like, okay, well, I want a right-wing one and a left-wing one. And those were the first two that came to mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Had the same sure. issue with social media. She was like, okay, well, pick one social media platform. And of course, I communicate with a lot of my friends and stuff through Facebook Messenger. I know. It's Facebook and it sucks.
I understand. Right. But I mean, you make a good point. We have a lot of contacts that way.
Yeah. So that was the one that I chose.
Okay.
And yeah. It's frustrating.
I'm just trying to think of links or anything else we want to put up. But I think we should probably follow that principle of marketing that says one link is the best. Just focus everybody on one place. So thecrypto6.com will be that place. Well, obviously, it's a ways out. But all the same, you know, we, of course, wish you all the best. And thank you for the update and explaining what's happening.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, folks. Tomorrow, it's our old friend, Eric Brakey, former Maine state senator. He's now with Young Americans for Liberty. And he is going to make the case for optimism. All you pessimists out there, better tune in. We're all given to pessimism from time to time. But he makes a convincing case. And I'll play a little devil's advocate against him, but I'm going to give him the opportunity to make that case to you tomorrow. So make sure to subscribe, tomwoods.com/apple, and I'll see you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.